And that was a real blessing to know, understand the word propitiation and what it means. But today we are going to continue on the Ten Commandments. And we have come down to the very most important, one of the most important commandments, the fourth commandment. And this will be probably about two or three part series, because I cannot, today I'm going to go through just an introduction, going to compare some what other people say and what the dispensationalist church say about the fourth commandment and what the reformers say on the fourth commandment. So we need to get a good view. Today it's more like getting a bird's view on the fourth commandment. And the fourth commandment, the subject today I would give is the fourth commandment applicable to the church today? Is the fourth commandment applicable to the church today? How many say yes? How many say no? Anybody say no? Let's read Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. That's where you find the fourth commandment. Exodus 20, 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your strangers who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the question is, the fourth commandment, was it only applicable to the Old Testament times? And is this commandment, does it come under the ceremonial law, which was abolished by Christ Jesus on the cross? These are good questions to ask. But good questions need good answers. Otherwise, it will never be answered. The church is basically divided on this matter when it comes to the Sabbath day. There are who hold the seven, there are Seventh-day Adventists who hold to the Sabbath day in a sense with the ceremonial aspect of view too. And they celebrate the Sabbath day on Saturday, even though in the Ten Commandments it doesn't tell you what day to worship the Lord on the Sabbath day. Then the majority of the churches, that the majority of the evangelical Christian churches believes the Sabbath day is not applicable to the church today, as it was only a ceremonial law. The churches that believe this view are the Southern Baptists and many other Baptists, except the Reformed Baptists, Calvary Chapels, Assemblies of God, Foursquare Churches, and many non-denominational churches, and many interdenominational churches. So the majority of the churches, they believe, not applicable. It's only a ceremonial law. Then you have the very minority church group, which is called the Reformed Churches, who believes the moral aspect of the Sabbath day is still applicable to the church today, although the ceremonial part of it is done away on the cross. But the substance of the Sabbath day still continues in Christ Jesus, and the day is changed to Sunday, the Lord's Day, with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. which happened on the first day of the week. I'm going to mention some names for us to understand clearly, so we all can understand what we are talking about here. It is interesting to see that there are major three views on this, but we know for sure that one is correct, the other two are wrong. Both cannot be right. In this article, in this sermon, what I want to give today, I want to focus my attention only to the second and the third view, which is most of the evangelical churches hold and what the Reformed churches hold. I will reserve my view on the Seventh-day Adventism on another day because I don't believe they fall into the mainstream Christianity. So we have narrowed it down into two now. First of all, we need to get a good understanding of this issue. We can narrow it down even more. On what basis is the division between the Reformed churches and the dispensational churches that I told you before? The dividing line is where the dispensational churches say the Sabbath day is only ceremonial, it is not moral. It's not a moral law. On the other hand, the Reformed churches believe, no, it is twofold. One is ceremonial and the other one is moral aspect. The ceremonial part of the Sabbath day is done away, but the moral aspect of the Sabbath day still continues. So, we need to see, first I want to show you what the dispensationalist churches hold to and what they believe and why they believe, so we can understand this very clearly. Many of you have heard John F. MacArthur Jr., who comes on radio, is all over the United States, very popular, and he comes all over the world, and he is very popular in other parts of the world too. John MacArthur holds to the view of the majority of the churches, saying that the Sabbath day is not moral but ceremonial only. I'm going to quote some of Ms. John MacArthur's quotations. And let us see why he holds this view, because he's supposed to be one of the best teachers from the dispensationalist perspective. He is highly honored from the dispensationalist perspective. So why not get the best out of the dispensationalist and see why they hold this view? And what's the reason? Now this is quotation, what John MacArthur says on the fourth commandment. Number one, there is not one New Testament command to keep the Sabbath. Not one. This is John MacArthur speaking on his quotation. All that the New Testament says about the Sabbath you have just seen in terms of the epistles. There's not one New Testament command to keep the Sabbath. Number two. Furthermore, all of the Ten Commandments, all of them are repeated in the New Testament, except the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Every other one, all nine, are repeated in the New Testament. This one is left out. Number three. Thirdly, there are no Sabbath rules given anywhere in the New Testament. None. There are no Sabbath rules given in the Old Testament passages that speaks of the New Testament covenant. There aren't even any Sabbath laws connected to the Abrahamic covenant or the Davidic covenant. So in the New Testament, the New Covenant instruction, nothing is said about the Sabbath. There is no covenant Sabbath. Number four. Furthermore, Now, I'm not taking out of context. I'm going along. Number four, furthermore, the Jerusalem Council, the Jews who were believers in the early church in Jerusalem, when they met together, determined not to require Gentile believers to keep the Sabbath. There is no requirement from the Jerusalem Council about the Sabbath imposed on Gentile believers. Number five. Furthermore, the apostles never made any rules of the Sabbath observance. They never warned believers about violating the Sabbath, and they never encouraged believers to be faithful and keep the Sabbath. I'm going along. I want to take this in context because this is so important, because this is what majority of the churches believe. All that leads to the clear, inescapable conclusion that there is no Sabbath law in the New Covenant. We are not under that law. It is not a moral law. And it is one that was temporary to set aside. And for us, when Saturdays come around, we can still remember God as our Creator and God as our lawgiver, and how short we have come to His law, but that brings us to no sorrow and no lasting sadness, for we have entered into eternal rest. The Sabbath for us is just a faint shadow. End of quote. The following is another quotation where John MacArthur quotes on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Now, are you getting the message? It is very clear the Lord Himself has ordained a day, the events of the resurrection, the events of the birth of the church, the completion of salvation, the coming of the Holy Spirit, all of that on a Sunday. Sunday is New Covenant Day. Now, he keeps on going on the same context. Now the other thing that is important to say, there aren't any rules for Sunday anywhere in the New Testament. There aren't any warnings about violation. Just Hebrews 12 says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Do it when the church meets, be there. There aren't any rules, there aren't any regulations. It doesn't say anything about work, it doesn't say anything about play. It doesn't say anything about what you can do, what you cannot do, nothing. Because New Covenant is freedom from the bondage. New Covenant is freedom from the law. This is not Sabbath. And those Sabbatarians who want to take the Old Testament Sabbath and drag it over, impose it somehow on the Lord's Day, are dragging the weak and beggarly elements of a dead covenant into a living covenant. Now, are you getting the message? It is very clear the Lord has ordained a day, the events of the resurrection, the events of the birth of the church, the completion of salvation, coming of the Holy Spirit, all of that on a Sunday. Sunday is New Covenant Day, end of quote. John F. MacArthur. Are you convinced? Well, a lot of people listen on the radio. And this, what I quoted, is a very clear picture of most churches, what they believe on the Sabbath day. That's the dispensationalist position on the Sabbath day. As I told you, the dividing point of this issue is that the dispensationalist churches, they believe that the fourth commandment is not under the moral law. But the Reformed churches do not agree with John MacArthur, who is considered to be a famous modern-day preachers or teachers from the dispensationalist perspective. I believe this position for a long time, for many years. because I did not know any other position. The only great teachers that I knew was John MacArthur, Chuck Smith, Greg Laurie, Charles Swindoll, Charles Stanley, David Jeremiah, Walter Martin, Vernon Maggie. Who else? And all the Raul Ruiz. Keep on going on. Those are the only ones that I knew, because those are the only ones that I heard. But only when I began to study the Reformation, the church history, I came to know some of the giants, theologians. You cannot even compare them to the modern day teachers today. I came to know Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, John Bunyan, John Owen, John Gill, Thomas Goodwin, Richard Baxter, Thomas Manton, Thomas Watson, go on and on, Charles Spurgeon. Never ends. I have news for you, because many of you are like me. Maybe some are listening to this tape. I don't know where you're listening to. Many of you are like me, as you have not heard these great theologians, these Reformed Puritan preachers or teachers, because your church is not going to mention them, and you have never heard them. All these Christian giants disagree with the majority of the churches today on many important subjects, and also on this subject on the Sabbath day. What about the great theologian John Calvin? Will John Calvin agree with the dispensationalist church position on the fourth commandment? Can John Calvin shed us some light on this position? Let us see what John Calvin have to say on the fourth commandment. John Calvin is going to use only very few sentences to rip the dispensationalist position away. John Calvin said, he is taken from Book 2, Chapter 8, Section 29 on the Sabbath commandments as a promise. John Calvin said, I quote, "Early Christian writers are wont to call it typical as containing the external evidence, external observance of a day which was abolished with the other types on the advent of Christ. This is indeed true, but it leaves the heart of the matter untouched. The external part of the Sabbath is done away, but the other half is untouched." Calvin believes that the external observances of the fourth commandment, the ceremonial laws, were abolished by Jesus Christ, but the moral law still continues. John Calvin said, yes, the ceremonial law was the shadows that contains the Sabbath is done away, but the moral law of the Sabbath still continues. Again, John Calvin said, it's another quotation on the Sabbath day by him on the book of Deuteronomy. This is what he said, quote, "Indeed, the law is not abolished." He quotes Matthew 5:18. We are going to that later. "So we must hold now to the substance and the truth of it. Even so, the shadows of it is done away by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the Sabbath is twofold. Okay, this is ceremonial and this is moral. This part is done away, this part is not. Only the ceremonial law was abolished in Christ Jesus. Nowhere in the New Testament scriptures that shows that the moral law was abolished. Not one single scripture. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. I'm going to show that the dispensationalist view is wrong. Matthew 5:18. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, this is our Lord Jesus talking, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Saying, not even a little dot of the law is not going to be abolished until heaven and earth pass away. My question is, has the heaven and earth passed away? The law continues. The moral law continues. The heaven and earth hasn't passed away until not even a little dot of the law will not pass away. Verse 19 says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does not teach us then, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, we are talking very important issues here. Some people say it has been abolished, the moral law. I don't see that in the scripture. It is very interesting to see that John MacArthur said that the law is done away. Calvin said it more clearly, that the ceremonial part of it is done away, but the moral law continues. And John MacArthur said it, the moral law is abolished. Tell you, John Calvin is telling the truth and not John MacArthur. Neither, nor all the other dispensationalist churches, they are not telling the truth. One is not telling the truth, the other one is telling the truth. Both cannot be true. Okay, both cannot be true. If we believe the dispensationalist position, there are no Ten Commandments. There will be nine commandments. Because according to John MacArthur, all the other laws are there in the New Testament except the fourth commandment. In that case, we don't have the Ten Commandments. We don't have the Decalogue. How to spell it? C-A-L-O-G-U-E. What it means by Decalogue? D in the ten in Greek is ten. The word. Okay. Dec means ten. Then log means log. It comes from the word logos. Okay, that's how the Ten Commandments comes in. If this is true, there are no Ten Commandments according to the dispensational churches, because all the commandments are there in the New Testament except the fourth commandment. So there are no Ten Commandments. Then we have what is called any log, means nine commandments. But there's so much talk on the radio today, on the Christian radio, and how the Ten Commandments have been taken away from schools. Why are they talking Ten Commandments if they don't believe in the fourth commandment. It should be 9 commandments. Doesn't make sense. Got to just think. Martin Luther said, on the 10 commandments, this is what he said. Therefore, they should be taught above all others and be esteemed precious and dear as the highest treasure given by God. John MacArthur said, there is not one New Testament command to keep the Sabbath. Arthur W. Pink, he answers this question. Pink said, we speak of the Holy Trinity, divine incarnation, the substitutionary work of Christ, yet none of these expressions are found in the New Testament. Nevertheless, the realities are there. Yes. You don't see the Trinity in the Word, or you don't see the divine incarnation, but the realities are there. The ceremonial aspects of the Sabbath is abolished. It is mentioned in the New Testament very clearly. But the elements of the Sabbath, the moral aspects of the Sabbath, is there. John MacArthur said, all the 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament except the 4th commandment. Remember, it doesn't say anywhere in the New Testament, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. To 22, if you can remember here, a lawyer asked a question, verse 35, from Jesus, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 36. Verse 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Verse 38, he says, this is the first and the great commandment. Verse 39 says, and the second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then verse 40 says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, Jesus did not say, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets except the 4th commandment. No. He didn't say that. He said, on these two commandments hang what? All means 10. Talking New Testament here. MacArthur said, there are no Sabbath rules in the New Testament. Of course not. Because the ceremonial law was done away. You don't need rules. Ceremonial law was demolished. Problem is, the dispensationalist church cannot understand. They cannot differentiate what is ceremonial and what is moral. They get all mixed up. Confused. Then MacArthur gives a very bad example on the subject where he said the Jerusalem Council never told the Gentiles to believe and keep the Sabbath. But if you read the scriptures, we see the subject of the problem was not on Sabbath but on circumcision. Where some people came and said, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. The subject is on salvation. When the Reformation delivered the church from the bondage of Roman Catholicism. The pure doctrine of the Word was brought back into the church. And the church wanted to educate the people with the whole counsel of God. And this was compiled into catechisms. Catechism is a summary of the Christian religion, summary of the doctrines in the Bible, so we can understand everything. And these were taught in church, in home, and in school. The Heidelberg Catechism asks, what does God require in the fourth commandment? Question is, in the first place, God wills that the ministry of the gospel and schools be maintained, and that especially on the day of rest, diligently attend church to learn the word of God, to use the holy sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christians alms. In the second place, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works, allow the Lord to work in me by Holy Spirit, and begin in life the everlasting Sabbath. And gives a lot of scriptures. Now I'm going to go on the scriptures next week because I cannot go through every day today. Now what did Spurgeon say about on this matter, on the Sabbath day? Of course, a lot of dispensationalists, they love to quote Spurgeon. Is Spurgeon believed that it's done away? He's called the Prince of Preachers. Charles Spurgeon, well, if he was alive today, will he agree with John MacArthur and Chuck Smith, Greg Laurie, and the rest of them? Of course not. Spurgeon, too, like all the other reformers, believed the moral law of Sabbath still continues. I'm going to quote what Spurgeon said here. The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all the day. Even from such worldly employments and recreations, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercise of God's worship, except so much as is taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. That means if you're somebody is in real need, if your sheep fall down to a well, on that day you got to do works of mercy. So Spurgeon disagrees with the dispensationalist churches. What about John Bunyan? A lot of people watch Pilgrim's Progress. And what about John Bunyan? What he had to say on the fourth commandment? John Bunyan said, quote, "Have a special care to sanctify the Lord's day. For as thou keepest, so it will be with thee all the week long. Make the Lord's day the market of thy soul. Let the whole day be spent in prayer, repetitions, or meditations. Lay aside the affairs of the other parts of the week. Let thy sermon thou hast heard be converted into prayer. Shall God allow thee 6 days, and wilt thou not afford him one day? In the church, be careful to serve God, for thou art in the eyes of the Lord and not in man's eyes." Pretty strong statements. Totally disagreeing with the church today, what you're hearing. What about Arthur W. Pink? What did he have to say on this? Arthur W. Pink said on the fourth commandment, "The lasting nature of perpetuity of this twofold commandment is further evidenced by the fact that in the above reason given for its enforcement, there was nothing which was peculiarly pertinent to the nation of Israel, but instead that which speaks with clarion voice to the whole human race. Moreover, this statute was given a place not in the ceremonial law of Israel, which was to be done away when Christ fulfilled its types, but in the moral law, which was written by the finger of God Himself upon tables of stone to signify to us its permanent nature. It was written, other laws, you know, other parts of the commandments were written by men. Men wrote it. But the Ten Commandments was written by the very finger of God. That's why it says, not even a little tittle can pass away. And it is going to be a permanent one. How can you believe? A lot of churches, what you are hearing today on the radio, they don't preach this. They preach just the opposite of the Sabbath. Thomas Watson, who lived in 1620 to 1686, one of the famous Puritan preachers and writers, and he said, the thing I would have you now observe is that the commandment of keeping the Sabbath was not abrogated with the ceremonial law, but is purely moral, and the observation of it is to be continued to the end of the world. The great theologian Charles Hodge, who lived in 1797 to 1878, said, it is a strong argument in favor of this conclusion that the law of the Sabbath was taken up and incorporated in the new dispensation of the apostles, the infallible founders of the Christian church. All the Mosaic laws founded on the permanent relation of men either to God or to their fellows are in like manner adopted to the Christian code. They are adopted, however, only as to their essential elements. What Charles Hodge is saying is this. The ceremonial law of the Sabbath is abolished in Christ, but the moral aspects or the essential elements are adapted to the New Testament church. How about J.C. Riley, who lived in 1816 to 1900, one of the greatest preachers with a lot of devotional items. And this is what J.C. Riley says. Why I'm giving these quotations is all what you're hearing today is the dispensationalist churches, what a lot of other people say. So we need to go back and see what other people say on the other side of the perspective. You understand? If I tell only one person, you're hearing all the others, many people, Greg Laurie, Chuck Smith, Raul Rees, and David Jeremiah, and so forth, and Chuck Swindoll, Charles Stanley, and everybody. Man, all these people are saying, must be true. So I'm going to the other side, and I'm going to show all the other people say on the reform perspective. So it has to be fair. J.C. Riley, who lived in 1816 to 1900, this is what he said on the fourth commandment. I turn to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was upon earth. I cannot discover that our Savior ever let fall a word in discredit of any of the Ten Commandments. On the contrary, I find him declaring at the outset of his ministry, that he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill. And the context of this passage where he uses this word satisfy me that he was not speaking of the ceremonial law, but the moral law. I find him speaking of the Ten Commandments as a recognized standard of moral light and wrong, right and wrong. He quotes Mark 10:19. You don't have to look. Thou knowest the commandments, where he asks, don't you know the commandments? From the rich young ruler. I find him speaking 11 times on the subject of the Sabbath. This is in the New Testament, Jesus Christ. But it is always to correct the superstitious additions which the Pharisees had made to the law of Moses about observing it. Jesus had to always correct the Pharisees, the superstitious additions where the Pharisees have put, but never deny the holiness of the day. He no more abolishes the Sabbath than a man destroys a house when he cleans off the moss or weeds from its roof. Above all, I find our Savior taking for granted the continuance of the Sabbath when he foretells the destruction of Jerusalem. Good point, John Riley. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24:20, John Riley goes on to say, he says to the disciples that your flight will be not on the Sabbath day. Matthew 24:20. Think about a tribulation that's going to come. He's talking about future. He's talking about future, where Jesus said, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or in what? On Sabbath. If Sabbath was abolished, he has to say Sabbath. It's going to be future. Then John Riley goes on to say, I'm utterly unable to believe when I see all this that our Lord did not mean the fourth command to be as binding on Christians as the other nine. They are all binding. Ten commandments is ten commandments. You cannot take one out. If you take one out, I like to quote what Philip Schaff has to say. You know who Philip Schaff is? He is a great church historian who wrote volumes of church history, where you find it over here. All these books. Can you see these? Those pink ones were written by Philip Schaff. And Philip Schaff said, this is what he said. Now, this is a church historian writing. It is incorporated in the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments, the moral law which Christ did not come to destroy, but to fulfill, and which cannot be robbed of one commandment without injury to all the rest. He's saying here, if you rob one commandment, you are going to injure all the other commandments. Same what J.C. Riley said. It's taken from 8-volume history of the Christian Church by Philip Schaff, volume 1, pages 476 to 480. And also, Philip Schaff said that next to the Church and the Bible, the Lord's Day is the chief pillar of Christian society. Well, we are here in the other side. What about the church fathers? You know who are the church fathers? The church fathers are the disciples of the apostles. And they got their information directly from the apostles. And the church fathers disagree with the dispensationalist view also. And I'm going to give quotations now. They disagree with the dispensationalist view of the fourth commandment, as the dispensationalists say it is being taken away. And let us see some of the quotations of the church fathers. Ignatius was the bishop of Antioch, who lived in AD 101. He said, let everyone that loves Christ keep holy the Lord's Day. The Queen of Days, the Resurrection Day, the highest of all days. Theophilus, Bishop of Antioch, who wrote in the 2nd century, says, both custom and reason challenge from us that we should honor the Lord's Day, seeing on that day it was that our Lord Jesus completed his resurrection from the dead. Irenaeus, Bishop of Lyons, who lived in the second century and who was a disciple of Polycarp, and Polycarp who was a companion of Apostle John. Okay? He speaks of the Lord's Day as the Christian Sabbath. This is what he quotes. On the Lord's Day, he said, every one of us Christians should keep the Sabbath day. Clement of Alexandria, of the same century, he quotes, a Christian, according to the command of the gospel, observes the Lord's Day, thereby glorifying the resurrection of the Lord. Tertullian, the same period, he says, the Lord's Day is a holy day of the Christian church. Well, the witnesses are too many. If you come to a court, I took the other position in front of the judge, and I took the reform perspective, and the witnesses are too many. And it is sad, very sad, when John MacArthur said, it doesn't say anything about work, then he goes on to say, it doesn't say anything about play. You can go and play. That's what the church does today, right? Soon after the church, go to play, ball games. It doesn't say anything about play. So sad how the church has deteriorated today from the holy word of God. The witnesses of the early church believed in the Sabbath day. The moral aspect still continues. The reformers believe. All the reformers believe. All the Puritans believe. Except the modern day church. I'll tell you, the modern day church is not telling you the truth. The reformers are telling you the truth. The early church fathers are telling you the truth. The Puritans are telling you the truth. When the church was under the bondage, can you remember the Israelites, they were under the bondage? I mean, God has to teach them all over again, huh? It's the same thing when the church was under the bondage of Roman Catholicism. Came purity to the church with the reformers. Lastly, I'm going to show you in Scripture the Ten Commandments are still in exist. I'm going to go through some scriptures now. I'm going to use John Owen. John Owen is called the Prince of the Puritan Theologians. You take those guys, I'll tell you, today's people, you cannot even compare. And I'm going to use John Owen's arguments against the modern church on the Ten Commandments is the moral law, which is not abolished. Let us see some of the scriptures that John Owen uses to show. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Very clear. John Owen, speaking on Matthew 5:17, says, it establishes the abiding validity of the law. Jesus did not come to destroy. No. The law continues. Then, actually, this is the thesis of Christ's first sermon on Matthew 5. You know, this is on Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 talks on what? The whole sermon. Huh? Can hear? Matthew chapter 5 is called what? The Sermon on the Mount? What is it called? The Beatitudes. This is where Christ exposed the law. On the Beatitudes, you see Christ exposing the law, making clear for us to understand. And it's really nice. Spurgeon talked about this, and Spurgeon said, this every mountain with its associated, you know, in history, you will see something very historical. And Spurgeon said in Mount Sinai is a sacred because Mount Sinai is sacred to the law. That's where God delivered the law, on Mount Sinai. Then we see Mount Zion is a symbolical of the church. Then Spurgeon went on to say Calvary, Mount Calvary was also in due time connected with redemption. That is Mount Zion. Then Spurgeon continues to say, Mount of Olives is the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That's where He ascended to heaven. It was meet here, therefore, that the opening of the Redeemer's ministry should be connected also on a mount, which is on the hill. It says here, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain. And this is where, on this mount, where Jesus exposed the law. John Owen, back to scripture. John Owen, he goes very skillfully. He goes to John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. First John chapter 3 verse 4 says here, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. The text, you know, is so clear. And the question is, if there is no moral law today, and if it was abolished by Christ Jesus, how can you know that you are a sinner because you don't have anything to violate? Because no moral law. Remember what John MacArthur said? The moral law is done away. But the scriptures say, no. We know that we are sinners. Here it very clearly says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. We know that we are sinners because of the law, because we have violated the law. Otherwise, how do you know we are sinners? Then John Owen goes to Romans chapter 3, verse 31. It's 3:31. Romans 3:31 says, do we then make void the law through faith? Paul said, yes. The moral law is abolished. Does he say that? No. Who said that? John MacArthur said it. And the dispensationalist church says that. But Paul doesn't say that. Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Then James chapter 2 verse 8 to 10. Chapter 2 verse 8 to 10. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your enemy. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. What is James saying here is James is making it clear the authority of the law, authority of the moral law. We know that even if we break the least of the law, we have broken all the other commandments. And that means the commandments are still there. How can we break if it's not there? Nothing to break. So James is very clear, showing the authority of the moral law. The problem, as I told you before, with the modern churches, they do not know how to differentiate the ceremonial law and the moral law. When they see law, it's done. Everything. But the genius of the old theologians, the genius of the reformers and the Puritans, allows us to clarify the moral law and the ceremonial law. Thank you. Forgot. Went blank for a little while. But it is sad that the church has forgotten its roots today, because we are listening only to these the modern day teachers only. That's all we know. All what they speak is all the knowledge we have. Nothing else. So sad. We need to serve God in the right way. And next week I'm going to continue on this subject, on how to serve the Lord on the Sabbath day. And I'm going to continue on more scriptures next day. This is just a bird's eye, so you know what is wrong and what is right. So you can differentiate what is wrong and what is right. I encourage you to read more Reformed and Puritan books and not listening to the junk that is coming from the radio. I'm going to end this sermon with a quotation from Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards said, he is another person who came totally against the dispensationalist view if he was here today. And he was very strong on the Sabbath day. He believed that the moral law still continues. Jonathan Edwards was one of the greatest theologians that America produced. Jonathan Edwards, one of his quotations, said, "We need to serve God because of His mercy towards us. There is something peculiarly heinous in saying against the mercy of God more than any other attributes. The greater the mercy of God, the more you should engage to love Him and to live for His glory." Remember the children of Israel? When they were brought out of the bondage of the Egyptians, it was because of God's mercy that God brought them out. Even when they came to the Red Sea, right in the front of the sea, the enemy is right at the back. It was God's mercy that He opened the Red Sea. And they saw the mercies of God. But what happened to them later? They were murmuring against this God. In the same way, the church is murmuring against God today. It's not really following the precepts of the Lord God. The church has forgotten the roots when the Reformation brought us out of the bondage of Roman Catholicism. The greater the mercies of God, the more we should serve Him. That's why the Reformers, the Puritans, they saw the mercies of God. They saw how they were persecuted, how some of the reformers were burned and killed. And they saw the mercies of God, how the church was delivered from the darkness of Roman Catholicism. And they want to serve the Lord more and more. They want to love the Lord more and more. But the church has forgotten that, because we are living in comfort. Pastors are living in luxury. And we need to love Him more, and we need to live for His glory. And that's the Sabbath day. How we need to live this day for the glory of God. So we will continue this next week. Let's pray.